Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Mercy Broker, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Transaction. The neon sign buzzed like a dying wasp outside the motel window, flickering the words Starlight in a sickly pink glow. There was no starlight here. Just the stink of diesel fumes from the highway and the sour tang of desperation clinging to the wallpaper. Room 12 was my office tonight. I'd chosen it for the view, a concrete lot littered with cigarette butts and a dumpster crawling with raccoons. Privacy. Discretion. The two things my clients paid for, besides the inevitable. I've been called a lot of things. Mercy broker, death dealer, angel of fuck you. But let's be clear, I don't kill people. I sell them a choice. A way out. A last flicker of control before the universe yanks the leash. And yeah, I charge a premium for it. You think dignity comes cheap? Try pricing a coffin. The rules are simple. No minors. No depressed housewives. No angry husbands looking to disappear their trophy wives. Terminal only. Cancer, ALS, the kind of shit that turns your organs to wet newspaper. I vet them hard. Medical records, doctor's notes, a tearful phone call where I play therapist for an hour. Are you sure? Is this really what you want? The script works. Makes them feel heard. Makes them trust me. Frank Harper was case number 227. Lung cancer, stage 4. 68 years old. Smoked 2 packs a day since he was 12, according to his file. His voice on the phone had been a death rattle wrapped in Marlboro red. I don't want to drown in my own blood, he'd said. Make it quiet. Make it clean. I quoted him 10 grand for the peaceful package. Cyanide capsule, disguised as a vitamin C supplement. Quick. Painless. Mostly. The body still spasms. Nobody tells you that part, but it's over in 90 seconds. He didn't haggle. I arrived early to scope the room. Checked for wires, cameras, the sticky fingerprints of cops. The bed sagged in the middle, its floral comforter stained with God knows what. I wiped down the nightstand, laid out a sterile sheet, and set the pill in the center. Rituals matter. They make it feel clinical. Official. Like this isn't just a backroom suicide pact. Frank knocked at 8:03 p.m. I cracked the door, scanned the parking lot. No cars but his, a rust-eaten Ford pickup with a Support Our Troops bumper sticker peeling at the edges. He shuffled inside, a gaunt skeleton in a flannel shirt 3 sizes too big. His skin hung off him like melted wax, yellowed and waxy under the lamplight. The chemo stink radiated off him, metallic, sour, wrong. You the broker? He rasped, collapsing into the room's lone chair. Depends. You Frank? He nodded, wheezing. I tossed the envelope of paperwork onto the bed. Living will. Disposal instructions. A waiver absolving me of liability. Not that it'd hold up in court. But clients never read the fine print. They're too busy rehearsing their goodbyes. He scrawled his name with a shaking hand. How's it work? I held up the capsule, inuous white, stamped with a smiley face. Swallow it. Wait 5 minutes. Lights out. No pain. Like falling asleep. Lie number 1. He stared at the pill, his Adam's apple bobbing. For a second, I thought he'd chicken out. They usually do. Sob. Scream. Throw the pill at my head and call me a devil. But Frank just reached into his jacket, pulled out a wad of cash bound with rubber bands, and tossed it on the bed. There's 12 grand there, he said. Extra 2s for discretion. My daughter. She can't know. Got enough shit on her plate. I raised an eyebrow. What kind of shit? Junkie, he spat. Ran off with some dealer. Cops found her half dead in Philly last month. He laughed, a wet crackle. Guess the apple don't fall far, huh? Her mom OD'd when she was 6. I didn't ask for the family trauma. Didn't want it. But clients love to overshare. Makes them feel human again, like they're not just rotting meat counting down the days. Your business stays yours, I said, pocketing the cash. Swallow the pill, and I'll handle the rest. He hesitated. You ever stick around? After. No. Good. I don't want an audience. He popped the pill dry, gagging as it slid down his throat. I watched. That's the job. Witnessing. They need someone to see them go, even if it's a stranger. The cyanide hit fast. His eyes bulged, veins popping like blue worms under his skin. He clawed at his throat, a guttural groan tearing out of him. Hurts, he choked. It'll pass, I lied. Lie number two. His body arched off the chair, crashing to the floor. Limbs twitching. Foam bubbling on his lips. The death rattle took 3 minutes, not 90 seconds. Fuck the brochure, this was messy. Ugly. Real. When he finally stilled, I checked his pulse. Nothing. I snapped photos of the body, the signed paperwork, the empty pill wrapper. Documentation. Always documentation. Then I texted my cleaner, a wiry ex-con named Reyes who disposed of bodies for cash and ketamine. Room 12. Pick up in 10. I was halfway to the door when Frank's phone buzzed in his jacket. Curiosity's a bitch. I flipped it open. One new text. Unknown number. Did you take the pill yet? My blood froze. I scrolled up. Frank, meet me at the motel. 8 p.m. I'm ending it. Unknown number. Don't. We talked about this. Frank, too late. Already paid the bastard. Unknown number. Idiot. I'll fix it. The screen went dark. Outside, tires crunched gravel. Reyes' van. I dropped the phone, bolted into the bathroom, and vomited into the sink. This wasn't a transaction. It was a trap. Chapter 2. The Lazarus Problem. The vomit burned my throat, acidic and hot, as Reyes pounded on the motel door. Open up, fuckhead. Cops patrol this lot every hour. His voice was a graveled snarl, the same one he'd used when we first met in a Philly holding cell years ago, back when I still believed in second chances. I splashed water on my face, the sink's rusted tap screeching like a banshee. My reflection stared back, pallid sweat slick, eyes wild as a cornered animal. Trap. 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 The word pulsed in my skull. Frank's phone lay dead on the floor, that cryptic text seared into my brain. I'll fix it. Fix what? Frank was a corpse. I checked his pulse myself. But corpses don't text. Reyes kicked the door again. Last call, Hermano. You want to explain this stiff to Johnny Law? I shoved Frank's phone into my jacket, swung the door open. Reyes stood there, a wiry ghost in a grease-stained hoodie, reeking of menthols and regret. His eyes flicked to Frank's body, then to the cash bulge in my pocket. 12 grand, I said, tossing him his cut, 2 grand, bound with a hair tie. Make him disappear. Deep. No trace. Reyes pocketed the cash, grinned with teeth like broken tombstones. Poor K. He your ex. Just clean the fucking room. He whistled, unzipping a body bag from his duffel. Relax, Chief. I got a quarry upstate. They'll be scooping his bones out of cement for decades. I didn't wait to watch. I slid into my car, a 98 Corolla with mismatched doors, and peeled onto the highway. The night swallowed me whole. 3 days later. I should have burned the motel to the ground. The first headline hit at dawn. Terminal cancer patient vanishes, family demands answers. Frank's face, gaunt and grinning in a hospital gown, plastered every news site. His daughter, Emily Harper, sobbed on camera outside a precinct, snot-nosed and twitchy. He wouldn't just leave. Someone took him. Someone killed him. Bullshit. Frank had no family left but her, a junkie who'd sold her last shred of dignity for a hit. But there she was, playing grief-stricken daughter for the cameras. My burner rang. Unknown number. Change of plan, I barked, assuming it was Reyes. The quarry's too hot. Dump him in the river instead. Silence. Then a wet, rattling laugh. You're a hard man to find, Mr. Mercy Broker. The steering wheel lurched in my grip. Tires screeched. I swerved onto the shoulder, heart jackhammering. Frank's voice. Cyanide's a bitch on an empty stomach, he wheezed, the words sloshing like he was talking through a mouthful of blood. Especially when you've been puking your guts up from chemo. You're dead, I hissed. I checked your pulse. I watched you die. Clinical death. For minutes. Paramedics brought me back. Another laugh, jagged and raw. Turns out your painless packages got a warranty. The world tilted. I clawed at the window, gulping air. Frank alive? Impossible. I'd seen his veins turn to ice. Seen his eyes roll back. What do you want? I snarled. Justice, he spat. You sold me a lie. Charged me extra for no pain. But it hurt like a motherfucker. And now, Now I'm suing your ass for every penny. For fraud. For malpractice. For torture. The word lawsuit detonated in my chest. Exposure. Arrest. My client list. Dozens of terminal patients. All evidence. Floating into prosecutorial hands. You signed a waiver, I growled. No liability. You knew the risks. Waiver's worth shit if I'm alive to say you pressured me. His voice dropped, venomous. And Emily? She's got stories about you. How you stalked her. Threatened her. Paid her to lie. Cold seeped into my bones. Emily. The junkie daughter. The one who'd supposedly OD'd in Philly. Check your email, Frank croaked. I fumbled for my phone. A video link loaded, security footage from the motel. Grainy, black and white. Me handing Frank the pill. Him convulsing. Me snapping photos of his corpse. Copies are already at the DA's office, Frank said. Along with your little liability waiver. How long till they match your prints? The road blurred. This wasn't a shakedown. It was a fucking crucifixion. How much? I choked out. 10 million. Cash. By Friday. I don't have 10 million. Then you'd better start digging your grave, broker. 'Cause when I'm done, you'll wish you'd swallowed that cyanide yourself. The line died. The cleaner's betrayal. Reyes met me at the quarry at midnight, the moon a slit eye overhead. He leaned against his van, smoking a joint, the glow painting his face demonic. You fucked me, I said, throwing the phone at him. You sold the body. Sold me out. He took a drag, unblinking. Que de gist. Frank's alive, you bastard. His people have the body. Reyes frowned, flicking ash. No body. Nada. Dumped him in the crusher, like you said. Ground him to pulp. Then explain this. I shoved the video in his face, Frank's corpse on the motel floor. Reyes froze. The joint tumbled from his lips. Mierda. That's not possible. I cleaned your room. You're stiff. Then who the fuck did you put in the quarry? His eyes widened. Kono. The girl. What girl? Redhead. Same room, next morning. OD'd on H. Landlord said she paid cash. I figured. Quien sabe? You had guilt. Ice flooded my veins. Emily. Frank's daughter. The junkie. You ground up the wrong body, I whispered. Reyes palmed his knife, stepping closer. You set me up, Quebron. Brought heat to my operation. Frank set us up. He's alive, and his daughter's dead in your crusher. You think the cops won't trace that van? Your face. For a heartbeat, I thought he'd gut me. Instead he spat, I'm gone. You? Estás jodido. He vanished into the dark, tires spitting gravel. The trap closes. The DA's subpoena arrived at dawn. I sat in my shitbox apartment, blinds drawn, watching the video of Frank's death loop on every news channel. Emily's face replaced his by noon, a tearful press conference, her photo now stamped with missing. My sister was sick, a blonde woman sobbed on CNN. She'd never leave her dad. Someone killed them both. Sister? Frank never mentioned a second daughter. My laptop pinged. An encrypted email, attached, autopsy report, emilyharper.pdf. I opened it. CD, acute cyanide poisoning. Stomach contents, capsule fragments, vitamin C coating. Note, decedent's fingerprints match those found on waiver from room 12. The room spun. Frank hadn't survived. He'd never been in that motel. The man I'd killed was a ringer, a dying double. And Emily? She'd swallowed my pill, died in the same room, her body fed into Reyes' crusher. The waiver she'd signed now tied me to her murder. Frank's voice echoed in my skull. You're predictable. The phone rang again. 10 million, Frank rasped. Or the world sees exactly how you butchered my little girl. I hurled the phone against the wall. It shattered like my future. Frank wasn't suing me. He was erasing me. Chapter 3, The Pawn. The subpoena glared at me from the coffee table, its crisp edges lit by the blue static of the muted TV. On screen, Emily Harper's face, my face, flashed under the Chiron mercy killer still at large. They'd used my old DMV photo, the one where I looked like a sleep-deprived felon. Accurate, maybe. Fair. Fuck no. I crushed a Xanax between my molars, the bitterness snapping me awake. 10 million. Frank's deadline loomed like a guillotine. Friday. 3 days. I had no cash, no allies, and a single lead, Reyes. The bastard had vanished, but junkies leave trails. And Reyes? He left craters. The burner phone buzzed. Unknown number. Unknown, St. Agnes Cemetery. Midnight. Come alone. I stared at the text. A trap? Probably. but traps were all I had left. The ghost in the graveyard. St. Agnes reeked of moss and decay, the kind of place where even the moonlight felt dirty. I crouched behind a mausoleum, .45 cold in my grip, and waited. She appeared like smoke, a woman in a black trench coat, her hair a platinum sheet under the stars. She knelt at a fresh grave, the headstone still bare. Emily Harper's grave. "You're late," she said, not turning around. I stepped into the open. "You the sister?" She stood, her face sharp as a scalpel. Mid-30s. Ice blue eyes. Not a junkie. A predator. Claire Harper. Frank's real daughter. The gun wavered. Bullshit. Frank said Emily was his only kid. Claire smirked, lighting a cigarette. The flame hollowed her cheeks. Frank said a lot of things. Like how you'd panic when his little play unraveled. She blew smoke at Emily's grave. Poor Em. Always the fuck-up. Perfect patsy. The pieces clicked. You fed her the pill. Framed me. We needed leverage. Frank's lawsuit's just the spark. She flicked ash on the dirt. Verity Health's buying up every euthanasia broker on the East Coast. You're the last holdout. But don't worry, they'll carve your name on a plaque. Sacrificed for progress. I raised the .45. Tell Verity to suck my dick. Claire didn't flinch. They'll own you by Friday. Either sell your client list, or join Emily. She tossed a USB drive at my feet. Check the files. Then decide if your pride's worth dying over. She melted into the shadows, her laugh trailing behind. The USB of damnation. The drive held two folders, clients and Operation Nightingale. The first was my entire roster. Names, addresses, payment records. All encrypted. All stolen. The second, a slideshow. Slide 1, a photo of me leaving the motel. Slide 2, Reyes Crusher mid-grind. Slide 3, Emily's autopsy report, circled in red, cyanide positive. Slide 4, a screenshot of a wire transfer. $500,000 from Verity Health to Frank Harper. Final slide, today's choice, comply or die. I hurled the laptop across the room. It shattered against the wall, sparks raining like dying fireflies. Verity hadn't just framed me, they'd hired Frank. Used his desperation, his dying double, his junkie daughter. All to corner the market on death. The phone rang. Frank again. Tick-tock, broker, he coughed. Claire says you're being stubborn. You sold your own kid, I snarled. Emily was already dead. Claire's the one who matters. His voice softened, almost paternal. Join Verity. They'll protect you. From what? You. From yourself. The line died. The cleaner's redemption. I found Reyes in a flop house off Kensington Avenue, the walls sweating desperation. He answered the door shirtless, a needle dangling from his arm. Otra vez, he slurred. I told you, estamos jodidos. I kicked the door shut, pressed the .45 to his temple. Who's Claire Harper? He blinked, pupils blown. La Rubia? The Ice Queen? She paid me to take the redhead's body. Said it was your mess. And you believed her? She knew things. About my sister. My who passed. He shuddered. Verity owns cops, judges. They said they'd bury me if I talked. I lowered the gun. You're gonna help me bury them. Reyes laughed, a hollow sound. Why? Because Verity's gonna kill you anyway. And I'm the only one pissed enough to burn them down first. He stared at the needle. At the floor. At hell. Estebien. What's the play? The safe house. Reyes' sanctuary was a gutted auto shop, reeking of oil and regret. He tossed me a shotgun, shells clattering on a workbench. Verity moves their cash through a shell company, he said, pulling up files on a cracked laptop. Blackthorn Holdings. Office in the city. Guards. Cameras. Puta madre, it's a fortress. I trace the blueprints. We hit it tonight. Steal the ledger. Expose the transfers. Why después? They'll hunt us. Then we hunt back. He grinned, teeth glinting. Me gusta. The plan was simple. Reyes would jam the cameras. I'd crack the safe. In and out in 6 minutes. We didn't account for Claire. The ambush. The Blackthorn building loomed, a glass coffin in the financial district. Reyes disabled the alarms with a stolen keycard. Too easy. The safe room was on the third floor. I drilled the lock, sweat stinging my eyes. Inside, stacks of cash. A ledger. And a photo of me taped to the wall, circled in red. It's a setup. I yelled. Too late. Claire stepped from the shadows, a Glock in hand. Frank said you'd come. Reyes lunged. She shot him twice, chest, throat. He crumpled, blood pooling like oil. I raised the shotgun. You're out of bullets. She smiled. Am I? The first bullet tore through my shoulder. The second missed. I don't know how. I ran. Left Reyes. Left the ledger. Left my dignity. The last thing I heard was Claire's laugh. Friday's coming, broker. The bleeding. I stumbled into my apartment at dawn, shirt stiff with blood. The TV blared. Breaking. Mercy killer linked to Blackthorn heist. Second victim ID'd as Luis Reyes. Reyes' mugshot filled the screen. Known associate, the anchor droned. I slumped against the wall, clutching the USB. Claire's files. My only leverage. The phone rang. Frank again. Last chance, he wheezed. Verity's offer expires at midnight. I hung up. Opened the USB. Operation Nightingale had one more file, a video. Emily Harper, alive. Help me, she sobbed. They're making me lie. The video cut. A timestamp, today. 5:03 a.m. Emily was alive. And Verity had her. Chapter 4, The Wound. Blood dripped off the kitchen counter, hitting the linoleum in fat, lazy drops. Plink, plink, plink. I stared at the rhythm, hypnotized, my shoulders screaming like a banshee trapped in fire. The bullet had torn through muscle, missing bone by a miracle. Or maybe Claire just wanted me alive long enough to watch Verity skin me. I poured vodka over the wound, biting down on a dish rag to muffle the roar. The burn was biblical. When the black spots cleared, I stitched myself up with a needle and fishing line, hands trembling like a meth head's. The mirror showed a ghost, pale, sweat-soaked, eyes hollow as a gutted pumpkin. Reyes' face flickered in the glass behind me, throat blooming red. You left me, Kebron, he hissed. I smashed the mirror with my fist. The USB drive sat on the table, innocuous as a paperclip. Claire's files. My last card. I jammed it into my laptop, ignoring the blood smearing the keys. Operation Nightingale unfolded like a horror novel. Spreadsheets. Offshore accounts. Emails between Verity's CEO and Frank. Terminate the broker. Acquire his list. Dispose of loose ends. Loose ends. Emily. Reyes. Me. Then the video. Emily in a concrete room, wrists chained to a pipe. Her face was gaunt, eyes sunken but alive. Alive. She stared into the camera, voice raw. They made me lie. Said they'd kill Dad. Please help. The feed cut. A timestamp glowed. 6:02 a.m. Livestream. They were broadcasting her torture. Taunting me. The burner phone buzzed. Claire. Unknown TikTok. She's begging for you. I hurled the phone against the wall. It bounced, unharmed, her laughter tinny through the speaker. The doctor. I needed stitches that didn't look like a toddler's macrame project. That meant Doc Verma, a back-alley sawbones who patched up gangbangers and cheating husbands in a basement clinic off Fifth Street. The waiting room reeked of antiseptic and stale samosas. A kid with a shiv wound groaned on a gurney. Verma emerged, wiping blood off her hands, her sari streaked with iodine. Gunshot, I said, peeling back my jacket. She raised an eyebrow. You're the mercy killer. And you're a tax cheat. Fix the hole. She shoved me into a chair, injected lidocaine with practiced spite. You'll need antibiotics. And a coffin, if you keep this up. Just stitch it. The needle bit. They're offering $1 million for your head, she said casually. Verity's goons came by. Asked if I'd seen you. I tensed. What did you say? She knotted the thread. I said I'd call them, after you paid. The door crashed open. Two meatheads in Verity security polos filled the frame, tasers crackling. Speak of the devils, Verma sighed. The chase. I dove through the clinic's back exit, shoulder throbbing. The meatheads gave chase, boots pounding asphalt. Stop resisting, fuckstick, one yelled, taser prongs zipping past my ear. I vaulted a chain-link fence, landed in a junkyard. Cars stacked like crooked teeth. The goons split up, flanking me. A glint in the dirt, a rusted tire iron. I grabbed it, ducked behind a gutted minivan. Come out, broker, one sneered. We'll make it quick. The other laughed. Nah, Claire wants him squealing. I lunged, swinging the iron. It crunched into knee number one's temple. He dropped. Knee number two fired his taser, missed. I tackled him, knees grinding into his ribs, and slammed the iron down. Once. Twice. His nose exploded. Where's Emily? I snarled, iron raised. He spat blood. Rotting in. I broke his jaw. The rat. Back at the apartment, I scrubbed blood off my knuckles. The laptop glowed, Emily's live stream still looping. 6:02 a.m. live stream, same concrete room, same chains. But now, a fresh bruise purpled her cheek. Verity was tightening the screws. The USB had one last file, Blackthorn Ledger. I scrolled through shell companies, bribes, a $2 million payout to Frank Harper. Motherfucker. But one entry stuck out. Site 17 Decommission Hospital. Disposal protocol, active. Coordinates followed. 40.7128 degrees north, 74.0060 degrees west. New York City. My city. The informant. The coordinates led to a derelict hospital in the Bronx, windows boarded, yard doors chained. Graffiti screamed, "Ghosts live here," in dripping red. I circled the building, Glock drawn. A shadow moved in the lobby. "Show yourself." A figure stepped into the moonlight, Emily's sister, Claire, hands raised. "Don't shoot," she said. "I'm here to deal." I aimed at her chest. "Where's Emily?" "Safe. For now." She smiled icy. "Verity's offering a trade. Your client list for her life. Go to hell." "Frank's dead," she said flatly. "Pulmonary embolism this morning." Verity cut him loose. Her mask slipped, just for a second. "They'll do the same to me. To Emily. Unless you end this." I stepped closer. "Why the fuck should I trust you?" She pulled a key card from her coat. "This accesses Site 17's basement. Emily's there. But it's a slaughterhouse, guards, biometric locks. You'll never make it alone. And you'll help me out of the goodness of your heart." No, her eyes glinted. "I want Verity's ledger. Their real one. It's in the CEO's safe. You get it, I get Emily out. Or I walk in there now and blow your head off." She pressed the keycard into my hand. "Then Emily dies screaming. Your choice, broker." She vanished into the dark. The devil's bargain. I stared at the keycard, its edges sharp as betrayal. Claire's game was clear. Trap me in a crossfire, grab the ledger, and vanish. But Emily's face haunted me, the bruise, the chains, the raw fear. I texted Verma. "Me need a favor. Verma, make it two. Me C4. Detonators. And a priest." "Verma, who's the priest for?" "Me everyone." The phone buzzed with Claire's final taunt. "Unknown, midnight. Don't be late." I loaded the Glock, slid the USB into my boot, and stepped into the storm. Chapter 5, The Butcher's Table. The C4 weighed heavy in my duffel, each brick wrapped in duct tape like a birthday present for the apocalypse. Doc Verma hadn't asked questions, just handed over the explosives, a vial of morphine, and a rosary. "For the priest," she'd said. I tossed the rosary into the East River on the drive over. God had checked out of this fight a long time ago. Site 17 loomed ahead, its skeletal frame cutting into the night sky. The abandoned hospital looked like something cancer built, crumbling brick, shattered windows, ivy strangling the walls. Claire's keycard got me through the service entrance, the steel door groaning like a tortured soul. The air inside was thick with mildew and the sweet rot stench of decay. Somewhere in this tomb, Emily Harper was breathing. For now. I flicked on my flashlight, the beam slicing through dust motes. The lobby was a graveyard of gurneys and four poles, their shadows clawing at the walls. A security desk sat abandoned, monitors shattered, keyboards sprouting fungus. I checked Claire's coordinates, basement level. The elevators were dead, so I took the stairs, each step creaking a betrayal. The morphine had worn off. My shoulder burned, stitches straining as I gripped the Glock. Voices echoed below, gruff, bored. "Verity's guards. Think the boss'll actually pay us double for this shit? Fuck no. We're lucky we're not chained up next to the junkie. Still, girl's gotta be ripe by now. 3 days in the dark." Laughter. Ice flooded my veins. I rounded the stairwell, pressing against the damp concrete. Two guards slouched by a reinforced door, rifles slung over their shoulders. Amateurs. Verity's B-team. The first never saw me coming. The garrote, a piano wire from Verma's clinic, sliced through his throat before he could scream. The second fumbled for his rifle. I jammed the Glock under his chin. "How many guards?" I hissed. "FF4. Down the hall. Two in the control room, two on the girl. Biometrics." He nodded at the door. "Palm scanner. You'll never." I broke his neck. The scanner glowed red. I pressed the guard's severed hand against it. Green light. Click. The basement. The hall fluorescence buzzed, flickering like a strobe. Doors lined the corridor, some labeled storage, others disposal. I didn't want to know. At the far end, a steel door pulsed with the thump of bass. The control room. I palmed a C4 brick, primed the detonator, and kicked the door in. Two guards spun from their monitors, pizza crusts dangling from their mouths. What the foo? The explosion blew them into red confetti. Alarms wailed. I ducked into the blast's echo, sprinting past flames to the last door on the left. Subject holding. Another palm scanner. Another severed hand. The door hissed open. Emily hung from the ceiling, chains biting into her wrists. Her head lolled, hair matted with blood and vomit. A single bulb swung above her, casting jagged shadows. Emily. I shook her, her skin fever hot. Wake up. We're leaving. Her eyes fluttered. Why you came? Against my better judgment. I picked the locks, catching her as she collapsed. Her ribs jutted under my hands. Can you walk? She nodded, wincing. They injected me. With something. Makes everything fuzzy. Gunfire erupted outside. Shouts. Find him. The broker's here. Time to go. I slung her arm over my shoulder, half dragging her into the hall. Claire stepped from the smoke, Glock trained on us. Right on schedule, she said. The Judas kiss. I shoved Emily behind me, aiming at Claire's chest. Move. She smiled. You really think I'd let you walk out with her? Verity's offering $10 million for your corpse. And you'll be their next loose end. No, she tossed a USB drive at my feet. That's the real ledger. CEO's offshore accounts. Blackmail files. Enough to burn Verity to the ground. Why? Frank was a means to an end, she said, voice cracking. Verity promised to cure him. Lied. Let him rot. Emily's just leverage. But this. She nodded at the USB. This is vengeance. Emily stirred, groaning. Claire, please. Quiet, Em. Claire's gun didn't waver. The deal's simple, broker. Take the ledger. Upload it. Destroy Verity. I'll hold off the guards. And Emily? She's your problem now. Boots pounded closer. Claire glanced at the door. Decide. Fast. I grabbed the USB. Why the change of heart? She flicked her hair, smirk returning. Every empire falls. I'd rather be the arsonist than the ash. I hauled Emily toward the exit. Claire's gunfire chased us up the stairs, her laughter echoing like a requiem. The extraction. The parking lot was a war zone. Verity SUVs screeched in, goons spilling out with rifles. I dumped Emily behind a dumpster, returning fire. Stay down. And no. She clawed at my arm. Claire, she's still inside. Claire's gone. A bullet tore through the dumpster, sparks kissing my cheek. I lobbed the last C4 brick, detonator clenched. Click. The explosion lit the night, metal shrapnel shredding through Verity's ranks. I grabbed Emily, sprinting for the Corolla. Keys. I patted my pockets. Gone. Emily pointed. A guard slumped against the driver's door, keys dangling from his fist. I shot him. Twice. The engine roared. Tires screeched. We fishtailed onto the highway, Verity's headlights fading in the rearview. Emily curled in the passenger seat, trembling. Where now? I tossed her the USB. The endgame. The broadcast. Safe house was a flophouse this time, a pay-by-hour motel reeking of bleach and regret. I barricaded the door, dumped the ledger onto my laptop. Emily watched, hollow-eyed, as I hacked Verity's servers. What are you doing? Giving Claire her fireworks. The upload bar crawled. 10%. 30%. 60%. Gunfire outside. Engines dying. 90%. The door exploded inward. Verity's CEO stood in the frame, tailored suit untouched by blood. Marcus Renfield. Philanthropist. Billionaire. Butcher. You've cost me millions, he said, silken. But don't worry, I'll recoup it selling your organs. Emily screamed. The upload hit 100%. I grinned. Check the news. His phone buzzed. Headlines blared. Verity Health CEO linked to euthanasia ring. Offshore leaks spark global probe. Renfield paled. You. I shot him. Through the hand. Through the knee. Left him crawling. Mercy's extra, I said. Emily stared at the body. Is it over? For him. I grabbed her arm. We're not staying for the encore. The toll. Dawn found us at a bus depot, Emily clutching a one-way ticket to nowhere. Come with me, she begged. I'm a ghost, I said. Ghosts don't get endings. She hugged me, all bones and tremors. Thank you. I watched her board the bus, the USB's final file burning in my pocket. Claire's last message. Site 17's incinerator. 9 a.m. Don't be late. The flames were still climbing when I arrived. Claire's body curled in the ashes, a smile on her lips. I lit a cigarette off the inferno. Rest in chaos. The bus rolled out. The fire raged. Somewhere, sirens wailed. I walked until the smoke swallowed me whole. Chapter 6, The Last Breath. The rain fell like nails, hammering the roof of the abandoned warehouse where I'd been squatting for 3 days. The walls reeked of diesel and rat piss, a fitting cathedral for my final act. Claire's USB drive sat on a rusted oil drum, next to a half-empty bottle of bourbon and Frank's revolver. The files had done their job. Verity's empire was ash, their CEO facing life in a cell, but the fire I'd lit kept spreading. Now it was licking at my heels. Emily's bus ticket stub was crumpled in my pocket. Albuquerque. She'd texted once, a blurry photo of a desert sunset, captioned still breathing. I didn't reply. Let her believe in fresh starts. I knew better. The burner phone buzzed. Unknown number. Unknown, roof of Verity Tower. Midnight. Come alone. I didn't need to guess who. Claire's body was never found in Site 17's ashes. She'd have crawled out of hell just to watch me burn. I loaded the revolver, Frank's words echoing. You're predictable. He was right. The tower. Verity Tower speared the storm clouds, its glass facade bleeding neon. The lobby was a tomb, marble floors cracked, reception desks overturned. The elevators were dead, so I took the stairs, each flight a fresh hell for my shoulder. The stitches had split, blood seeping through my jacket. Claire waited on the roof, backlit by lightning, trench coat whipping in the wind. She'd traded her icy poise for something feral, hair matted, face streaked with soot, a jagged burn climbing her neck. Miss me, she rasped. I aimed the revolver. You're supposed to be dead. You first. She nodded at the edge. Jump, or I push you. Why? Because fuck you. Her laugh was broken glass. You think you won. Verity's gone, but their clients? The families? They're coming for you. You're the face of death now. The monster under the bed. I stepped closer. And you? I'm the ghost. She pulled a syringe from her coat, my old fentanyl cocktail. But I'll sleep just fine once you're gone. The wind howled. The city sprawled below, a circuit board of regrets. Emily's safe, I said. Claire flinched. Emily's weak. Like Frank. Like you. Then do it. I dropped the gun, spread my arms. Finish it. She lunged, syringe raised. I caught her wrist, twisting until bone cracked. The syringe clattered over the edge. We grappled, crashing against the guardrail, rusted metal biting into my back. You don't get to quit, she spat. You don't get to run. I headbutt her. She reeled, blood gushing from her nose, and swung a wild punch. I ducked, drove my knee into her ribs. She crumpled, gasping. Mercy, Claire. I picked up the revolver. That's what you wanted, right? She grinned, teeth red. You're no angel. Never claimed to be. The shot echoed. Claire jerked, a black rose blooming over her heart. She sagged against the guardrail, eyes wide. Hurts, she whispered. I crouched, brushing hair from her face. It'll pass. Lie number 3. The edge. I left her there, staring at the storm. The roof door creaked open. Freeze. Police. SWAT team. Rifles. Kevlar. The works. I turned, hands raised. Took you long enough. The lead cop, a bulldog with a buzz cut, snarled. On your knees. Now. I glanced at the edge. One step. Two. The wind tugged, hungry. Don't. Buzzcut leveled his rifle. We will shoot. I smiled. Pulled the cyanide pill from my pocket, the one I'd saved for myself. This one's on the house. I swallowed. The fall. The world blurred. The cyanide burned, but not as much as the bullets. They ripped through me, chest, gut, thigh, as I toppled backward. The city spun, skyscrapers, streets, Claire's body shrinking above. I thought of Emily. Of Reyes. Of Frank choking on his own hubris. Then nothing. The wake. They never found my body. Just the pill's foil wrapper in the river, caught in the reeds like a silver scar. Emily framed it. Hung it on her Albuquerque trailer wall. Some nights, she whispers to it, half drunk on tequila. You gave me a life. What did you get? The desert wind doesn't answer. Claire's face still haunts Verity Tower. Janitors swear they see her on the roof, laughing as storms roll in. And the Mercy Broker? He's a story now. A cautionary tale. A punchline. But in certain circles, dark rooms where the dying clutch their cash, they say he's still out there. Selling control. Selling peace. Selling lies. The check always clears. Chapter 7, The Ghost. The first breath was the worst. Cold. Metallic. like inhaling shattered glass. I lurched upright, clawing at my throat, the taste of almonds and blood thick on my tongue. The cyanide should have scorched my insides, left me a bloated corpse in the East River. Instead, I was sprawled on a stainless steel table, naked under the glare of surgical lights, and four jammed into my arm. "Relax," a voice drawled. "Antidote's a bitch on the liver, but you'll live." Doc Verma leaned against the wall, smoking a clove cigarette, her sari replaced by blood-smeared scrubs. Her clinic had upgraded, sterile walls, monitors beeping like a deranged orchestra. "Why?" I croaked. She blew smoke at the ceiling. "You owed me 50 grand. Corpses don't pay debts." I yanked the four out, blood snaking down my arm. "Where's Emily?" "Safe. For now." She tossed me a file. "Verity's carcass drew scavengers. New players. Worse." The file was a dossier, Blackwater Biotech. Logo, a serpent coiled around a crucifix. Their CEO. A face I knew. Dr. Eleanor Shaw. My old med school professor. The one who'd flunked me for ethical incompetence. "They're muscling into the mercy trade," Verma said. "But they're not selling peace. They're harvesting." I flipped through the pages. Terminal patients disappearing from hospitals. Organs sold on the black market. A client list. Politicians, billionaires, names that could topple governments. "Shaw's got a facility upstate," Verma said. "Calls it the garden." I dressed slowly, the world tilting. "Why tell me?" She stubbed out the cigarette. "Because Shaw's offering a bounty. 10 million. For the Mercy broker's head. And she's got Emily." The room blurred. Emily's desert sunset photo crumpled in my fist. Still breathing. The road to hell. The Corolla was a relic, but it ran. Mostly. I drove north, the Adirondacks clawing at the sky. Verma's intel led to a gated compound nestled in the pines. High walls, sniper nests, a fleet of black SUVs. The garden. I parked a mile out, hiked through the woods, mud sucking at my boots. The fence hummed, electrified. I cut the wire with insulated pliers, the shock numbing my fingers. The facility was a glass and concrete tumor, security patrols circling like vultures. I slipped in through a service entrance, the stench of formaldehyde burning my eyes. The hallways were pristine silent. Lab doors hissed open, revealing rows of bodies on slabs, old young, hollowed out like pumpkins. Organs floated in jars, tagged with barcodes. A voice echoed. "Ensure the heart's viable. The client's in Dubai, and he's impatient. Dr. Shaw." She stood in a surgical theater, gloved hands deep in a cadaver's chest. 60 now, her hair steel gray, eyes sharp as scalpels. "Harvest the liver too," she barked. "The Saudis pay extra for fresh." I stepped into the light. "Still failing ethics, Ellie?" She froze. Turned. Smiled. "James. I'd say you look good for a dead man, but..." She waved at my scars. "Where's Emily?" "Alive. For now." She peeled off her gloves. "You've caused me considerable trouble. Verity's collapse messy. You're welcome." She pressed a button. Monitors lit up, showing Emily in a glass cell, IVs pumping clear fluid into her veins. "A cocktail of my design," Shaw said. "Accelerates cellular decay. She'll be ripe by dawn." I drew my knife. "Turn it off. Or what? You'll kill me." She laughed. "I'm your only way out. The second I flatline, this place locks down. Emily dies. You die. And I've got clones." The word hung absurd. She gestured to a lab fridge. Rows of organs, each tagged with her name. "Insurance," she said. "The future is redundancy, James. You're obsolete." I lunged. Slammed her against the slab, knife at her throat. "Shut. It. Off." She spat in my face. "Room 4B. Key code 6673. But you're too late. The garden's thorns." The keypad beeped. 6673. The door hissed. Emily lay convulsing, foam bubbling on her lips. The four bag read T7, terminal accelerant. I ripped the needles from her arms. "M. Look at me." Her eyes rolled. "H hurts. I know." I slung her over my shoulder, her bones grinding. Alarms wailed. Red lights strobed. Shaw's voice boomed. "You'll never leave." We ran. Emily's breath ragged in my ear. Guards closed in, silent, masked, tasers crackling. I ducked into a morgue, corpses stacked like firewood. Emily stirred. "I'll leave me. Not an option." The door burst open. Two guards. I grabbed a bone saw swung. Blood sprayed. Emily screamed. We stumbled into a garage. A van idled, keys dangling. I tossed Emily inside, floored the gas. The gates loomed. Closed. I aimed for the guard booth. Impact. Metal screamed. The gate buckled. We crashed through, pines whipping the windshield. The cure. Emily faded in the back seat, skin gray. Verma's clinic was 6 hours south. She wouldn't last one. I pulled over at a roadside motel, carried Emily into a room reeking of mildew. Her pulse fluttered, a moth trapped in her wrist. The burner phone buzzed. Shaw. There's no antidote, she purred. But you already knew that. I hurled the phone against the wall. Emily's hand found mine. Didon't, she whispered. I loaded Frank's revolver. You charged extra for painless. Lie number 4. The shot was a mercy. The reckoning. Shaw's compound burned at dawn. I walked through the flames, her clones screaming in their tanks. She met me in the lobby, a syringe in hand. You lose, she hissed. I'm used to it. I shot her. Again. Again. The clones died with her. The road ahead. Emily's grave was unmarked. The desert swallowed her. Verma found me at the bar. What now? I slid her a flash drive, Shaw's client list. Burn them all. She left. I drank. The check cleared. The dead stayed dead. The ghosts? They're working overtime. Chapter 8, The Serpent's Feast. The desert swallowed Emily's grave like a secret. I buried her under a gnarled Joshua tree, its branches clawing at the dawn. No marker. No eulogy. Just a fistful of sand and the hollow click of Frank's revolver as I emptied the chamber into the sky. The shots echoed unanswered. Doc Verma's flash drive weighed heavy in my pocket. Shaw's client list. Names that could drown nations in scandal. Senators. CEOs. A cardinal. I memorized them all, burning each into my cortex like a brand. Albuquerque's sun rose, bleaching the world bone white. I drove east, chasing the shadows. The first target. The safe house was a Vegas high-rise, all glass and lies. Suite 3404 belonged to Marcus Cole, pharmaceutical tycoon, philanthropist, and Blackwater Biotech's top client. His penthouse overlooked the strip, a kingdom of neon and sin. I breached his security at 3 a.m., slicing through a maid's entrance, the stench of chlorine and regret thick in the service halls. Cole's bedroom was a mausoleum of ego, gold-plated fixtures, oil portraits of himself, a bed wide enough to bury regrets in. He snored, mouth slack, an oxygen tube coiled under his nose. Liver failure, according to Shaw's notes. Awaiting transplant. I pressed the revolver to his temple. Wake up, Pharaoh. He jolted, pupils dilating. Who what? You bought a kidney last week. 12-year-old girl. Maria Gutierrez. I tossed her photo on the bed, a school portrait, braids bright as hope. She died on your operating table. Sepsis. Cole scrambled back, oxygen hissing. I paid for a clean harvest. Shaw promised. Shaw's dead. I cocked the hammer. You're next. Wait. He fumbled for a bedside drawer. I can give you names. Bigger names. Already got him. The shot was a thunderclap. Cole's head snapped back, painting the portrait behind him. I left the photo on his chest, Maria's smile staring at the ceiling. The messenger. The next name took me to D.C. Senator Eleanor Cruz, chair of the Health Committee, architect of a dozen policies regulating the euthanasia trade. Her brownstone reeked of jasmine and blood money. I found her in a study, bourbon in hand, drafting a bill to criminalize unlicensed mercy brokers. My kind. You're supposed to be dead, she said, ice clinking. Funny. I tossed Cole's bloody VIP card on her desk. Blackwater Biotech, platinum tier. He died begging. You gonna do better? She sipped her drink, unfazed. You think you're the first killer to storm in here? I've had special forces at my door. Cartel sicarios. You're just a thug with a savior complex. I leaned over the desk. And you're a leech in a pantsuit. How many kids did you sell to Cole? Enough to matter. She smiled. You ever wonder why Verity and Blackwater rose so fast? Because the world wants this, broker. It hungers for it. You're not a revolutionary. You're a delivery boy. The window shattered. Sniper round. It punched through her throat before she could smirk again. I dove, glass slicing my palms, as a second shot splintered the floor. Fuck. They'd been waiting. The senator's laptop glowed, a live feed of her security team storming the house. I grabbed it, fled to the basement, and barricaded the door. File upload, 87%. Shaw's client list, spilling to every major outlet, 92%. Boots pounded upstairs, 99%. The door exploded. Upload complete. I dropped a flashbang, slipped out a coal chute, and melted into the alley's guts. The trap. The names fell like dominoes. A tech mogul in Silicon Valley. A judge in Miami. A Saudi prince. Each kill leaked to the press. Each body a brushstroke in my masterpiece. But the game changed in Chicago. Lucas Vega, Shaw's procurement specialist. His penthouse was a glass cage above the river, walls lined with trophies. Rare books, Renaissance art, a jar labeled Subject 11's pancreas. He waited at a grand piano, playing Clair de Lune. I knew you'd come, he said, fingers dancing. You're so predictable. I aimed the revolver. Any last words? Just one. He smiled. Run. The floor exploded. Fire swallowed the room, concussions slamming me into the hall. Vega's laugh echoed through smoke. You think I'd store my own organs here? I'm everywhere, broker. I'm eternal. I crawled to the stairwell, ribs screaming. The building groaned, flames chewing through steel. On the street, fire trucks wailed. Vega's face flickered on a news van screen, alive, smirking, addressing reporters. Tragic accident. My heart breaks for the lives lost. Same suit. Same smile. Clone. The Bloodhound. They found me in a Kansas City flophouse, bleeding through a stolen bartender's shirt. A fist shook the door. Open up. FBI. I reached for the revolver. Empty. The door splintered. A woman stormed in, mid-40s buzz cut, a scar carving her cheek into a snarl. Agent Mara Reyes. DEA. Reyes's sister. You killed my brother, she said, pressing a Glock to my forehead. He made his choices. So did you. She cocked the hammer. But I didn't come here for vengeance. I laughed. Bullshit. Vega's cloning vats. She tossed a photo, a bunker dug into a Wyoming mountain. Blackwater's logo on the blast doors. He's got a lab there. Growing an army. You help me burn it, I'll let you live. Why? She leaned close. Because Lucas Vega killed my niece. Sold her lungs to a senator. Her voice cracked. Now move. The mountain. The bunker was a concrete tumor under a snow-dusted peak. Reyes's team, a skeleton crew of DEA rogues, stormed the vents while I slipped through the loading dock. The lab was a cathedral of nightmares. Rows of cloning tanks pulsed with amniotic light, each holding a Vega replica in fetal curls. Dozens. Hundreds. He waited at the control panel, a syringe of black fluid in hand. James, he called, arms spread. Look at us. The new gods. I shot him. The clone collapsed, twitching. Another emerged from the shadows. Then another. You'll have to do better, they chorused. Reyes's team opened fire, clones bursting like ripe fruit. I sprinted to the mainframe, jammed in Verma's drive, a virus to fry the system. Alarms blared. Self-destruct initiated. The clones faltered, clutching their heads. No. Reyes grabbed my arm. Time to go. We fled as the mountain imploded, clones melting into slurry behind us. The truth. Reyes shoved me against her truck at dawn, snow stinging our faces. The virus wiped the clones, she said. But the original's still out there. I lit a cigarette. So hunt him. She smiled, cold. Oh, I will. The bullet took me in the gut. I crumpled, breath steaming red. Why? She knelt, pressing the gun to my chest. Because Vega's offering $20 million now. And I've got a daughter to bury. The shot echoed. The check cleared. Chapter 9, The Last Transaction. The bullet tore through flesh and bone, but the heart it shattered wasn't mine. Agent Reyes slumped against the truck, her Glock clattering to the asphalt, a red flower blooming between her eyes. Behind her, Vega lowered his smoking pistol, his face a mirror of hers, same scar, same buzz cut, same ice-cold fury. You didn't think I'd let her steal my kill, did you? He said, blowing smoke from the barrel. I stared at Reyes' body, her eyes frozen mid-sneer. Blood pooled under her, black in the pre-dawn light. The gut shot she'd given me screamed, but adrenaline kept me upright. Kept me alive. Vega tossed the gun at my feet. Pick it up. Let's finish this. The mountain's ruins smoldered behind him, cloning vats reduced to ash. But Vega wasn't a clone. This was the original, the rot beneath the garden. I grabbed the gun. You first. He laughed. Still predictable. Still weak. The shot took him in the knee. He crumpled, howling. Hurts, doesn't it? I limped closer, pressing the barrel to his temple. Where's the real lab? Go to hell. I shot his other knee. He screamed. Alaska. Facility in Denali. But you'll never. The bullet cut him off. The thaw. Denali's frostbit air clawed my lungs as I trudged through the snow, Vega's blood crusted under my nails. The lab was a concrete spider buried in the permafrost, its entrance guarded by drones and men with no faces. Clones. I didn't bother sneaking. The explosion ripped through the front gates, C4, packed snowmobile roaring into the compound. Clones swarmed, rifles barking. I ducked behind a fuel tank, fired a flare into the diesel drums. Fire swallowed them all. The lab's core was a womb of steel and ice. Tanks lined the walls, Vega clones floating in amniotic fluid, wires feeding data into a central mainframe. A heartbeat thumped from the ceiling, a massive organic server, veins pulsing with light. Vega's voice boomed from the walls. You're too late, Broker. I'm already everywhere. I shoved C4 into the server's arteries. Then burn with me. The detonator clicked. The after. They found me in a Yukon medevac chopper, frostbitten and half-dead. Doc Verma's doing. She'd tracked the blast, fished me from the snow. You owe me $1 million now, she said, stitching my ribs. The news played on a hanging TV. Blackwater CEO Lucas Vega confirmed dead in lab collapse. Global organ trafficking ring exposed. I muted it. Emily's grave. Did you? Paid a local to tend it. She snapped the thread. You're welcome. I slept for 3 days. Dreamt of fire. The visitor. The safe house was a cabin in the Rockies, pine walls sweating resin. I'd just finished cleaning Frank's revolver when the knock came. Claire stood on the porch, face half melted from burns, trench coat flapping in the wind. You're supposed to be dead, I said. So are you. She tossed a whiskey bottle onto the table. Truce. We drank in silence, the fire popping like gunshots. Why'd you come? I asked. She traced her scars. Verity's gone. Blackwater's gone. But the trade? It's thriving. New brokers. New monsters. And? She leaned close, breath reeking of smoke and regret. I want in. The deal. We met the cartel contact in a Tucson junkyard, wind howling through carcasses of old cars. The man called himself Coyote, sunglasses, gold chains, a smile like a switchblade. Heard you two legendarios are back in business, he said, thumbing a stack of cash. I got clients. Rich. Desperate. Claire palmed the money. Terminal only? Terminal is a spectrum, Hermana. He grinned. But sure. Whatever eases your conscience. The first mark was a rancher in El Paso. Lung rot. Wanted to go peaceful. Claire handled the transaction while I watched from the truck. She came back with blood on her hands. He fought, she said, scrubbing her skin raw with sanitizer. They always do. The lie. Months passed. The money piled up. The kills blurred. Claire changed. The burns healed, but her eyes hollowed. She started carrying a syringe of fentanyl. Just in case. One night, in a motel outside Phoenix, she finally broke. I can't do this, she whispered, staring at her reflection. We're just recycling the pain. I reloaded the revolver. Then walk. She didn't. The end. The last client was a girl. 14. Leukemia. Her parents paid extra for no fuss. Claire met them in a church parking lot, moonlight glinting off the steeple. I stayed in the car, engine running. The mother sobbed. The father shoved cash into Claire's hands. The girl asked, "Will it hurt?" Claire lied. Back at the motel, I found her slumped in the shower, syringe empty. "This one's on the house," her note read. I buried her in the desert beside Emily. The truth. The coyotes came at dawn. I sat on the cabin porch, Frank's revolver in my lap. The first snow dusting the pines. Doc Verma's warning played in my head. They'll never stop coming. The engine's growl broke the silence. SUVs. Black. Armored. I stood, bones creaking. The Mercy Broker's final transaction. Paid in full. Epilogue. They never found the bodies. Just a cabin in ashes, a revolver melted to slag, and a rumor in the dark. He's out there. Selling control. Selling peace. Selling lies. The check always clears.